It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen to KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only,
I mean, could you imagine a twin?
Paul Lavoie.
You can lay me down, watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
And welcome to Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie. It is Tuesday, May 11th, 2021. And just to prove I'm like Ron Burgundy when it comes to reading off the teleprompter. Yesterday, for some reason, I wrote 2010, Jess.
Yeah.
And when I was with Rick Murphy.
You're not even 10 years off. You're 11 years off.
And I read the date as 2010. And Rick didn't even catch it. Yeah. But, yeah, I wrote it down that way, so I read it that way, right? Worse than Ron Burgundy, I'm telling you.
Too funny.
Anyway, that's City Manager Jess Knutson.
Good morning. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for letting me be here.
You brought your trusty assistant to the city's manager, Anthony Kozlowski.
Good morning. Good to be here, Paul.
No stranger to our Bullhead City listeners.
That's right.
Yeah, good to see you again, Anthony.
Good to be here.
All right. So I figured today is, and as I told Jerry Bracamonte, today's going to be, I'm going to be on autopilot because you guys can just, you know, do all the talking.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah.
You guys are good at that.
Well, hopefully we get some callers too to ask some questions about what's happening with the city and the direction of the city and those types of questions would be fantastic.
Nice cue, by the way.
You're welcome.
854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. Jess is all pumped because a North Dakota State quarterback was taken in the top three picks.
Yeah, no, I'm from home state is North Dakota, and the North Dakota State University Bison have a really good football program, and they had Carson Wentz was drafted second overall a few years back by the Eagles, and then this last draft third overall was Trey Lance. Both are NDSU quarterbacks.
And this is and you're a hardcore NDSU guy. I saw you and your group down at Finney's on one Saturday.
Yeah, we
watched
all the games.
Sporting the green.
Yeah,
and
yelling at the TV and all the rest. Yeah,
but you told me an interesting factoid about Trey Lance and his birthday.
Oh, yeah, I just heard that we're talking just a little bit ago. I had heard that he just turned 21 on Sunday, so he is the first NFL player ever selected in the draft that was born in the year 2000 or later.
That's great.
Isn't that great?
Yeah,
that
nobody great? Can take it away from
him. Yeah, right. Yeah.
When you're the first, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. The only one.
That's awesome. So on to our sports station tonight, Arizona Diamondbacks against the Miami Marlins, and I'm told they won last night. So the D-backs.
Yep, they won, snapped a six-game losing streak.
Yeah, tell me about it. It was the road trip, 0-6. It was brutal in Miami and in New York. And in Queens, as a matter of fact, against the Mets. And that game first pitched tonight at 6:40. And then tomorrow you can catch Steve Greeley and the Amateurs, 9 a.m. That'll be live on the sports station. And then the D-backs and Marlins tomorrow night again at 6:40. Again, 980 a.m., 94.3 FM, and 100.5 in Bullhead City, Needles, Mojave Valley, and Laughlin. So there you have it on the sports front. Politically, the District 3 Mojave County Republican Central Committee 2021 Lincoln Day Dinner, say that fast three times, right? Saturday, June 5th, 5 p.m. social hour, 6 o'clock dinner at Chagru's Bridgeview Room, and the tickets are $100 each. And it looks like the keynote speaker will be Andy Biggs. congressional representative along with Paul Gosar. Mm. So that'll be an interesting night. There's a whole slate of speakers on that list. And if you want tickets, contact the District 3 office, 855-8006. So there you have it. I think, you know, even if the D-backs win all week and go on a streak, Anthony, you still got Monday. They play the Dodgers.
Yeah, that's going to be a loss.
Is that just automatic now?
Yeah.
Don't ask Anthony what his favorite baseball team is.
Yeah, but you never know when Kershaw's pitching now, right?
Oof, yeah, no.
I had to bring that up.
His better days are behind him. But
Wow, I never thought I'd hear a Dodger fan say that.
He can give you good five innings, but after that, it's kind of...
He didn't even give him a good one inning his last start. So, yeah, that was...
All right,
think that's funny, huh?
Moving on.
Moving right along. We have a council meeting tonight.
Yeah, we do?
Yes.
Yeah, the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 6 o'clock, and we welcome welcome the public to come join us at the council meeting. And then, obviously, you can view it on our website or through Channel 4 if you have that opportunity. And a couple items on the agenda this evening. Not a lot of items, but some pretty big and important ones. On the consent agenda is we're renewing all of our effluent agreements.
Ah.
So, and that's with the different entities out there. So, effluent is the water once it's treated at the sewer treatment plants. Then we need to find a way for that water. The city needs to find a way for that water to go somewhere, and we utilize our contracts with the golf courses primarily in the area. They take the effluent and they use that to keep the courses nice and green.
Any chance that might be pulled from the consent agenda?
You know, I
never know, do you?
I keep trying to put a crystal ball into the budget and nobody ever approves
Very
it.
Very funny.
So,
Very funny.
Yeah. I mean, if people have concerns, that's one thing we welcome the public to come down. If there's a concern with something on the consent agenda, a member of the public can pull it off and we can have a conversation about it.
Also called reclaimed water user agreements.
Yes.
Havasu Island Golf Course, also the Islander RV Resort. GEA Enterprises, Inc., doing business as Havasu Golf Club, Lake Havasu Marina, and Nautical Estates Townhouses Homeowners Association.
Yep, and then, exactly, and then that...
What do they use the effluent for? Their common landscaping?
I'm sure it's going to be some common landscaping areas, things like that, too. So, and it's... we already have a delivery system in place, you know, pipes in place for that delivery. Because of the old golf course on the island there, too. So that gets utilized by those entities.
Okay, I got you. And so let's move on to the regular agenda.
Sure.
And it looks like there was something in there. What was that I saw on in the newspaper? It was about, was it water and sewer rates? Yes.
Yeah.
That was it. Water and sewer rates. How could I forget?
Yeah. Yeah, we have the utility rate study that will be addressing our water and sewer rates for the short term and long term moving forward, and that'll be on the agenda tonight. We've had a couple public conversations with the council at the annual planning session. Mm-hmm. We had one work session, I believe, Anthony, if that's correct.
We did, yep. And then we went to the public for a couple meetings, trying to gauge their input and gather their feedback regarding the options.
Yeah, we had how many people showed up at the Aquatic Center that day when we did a presentation and asked people to come out with comments?
For all three sessions, it was about 25 to 30 people that showed up and provided some feedback. So it'll be nice to this nine-month process coming to a conclusion tonight.
What type of feedback did you get?
All great feedback. We continue to receive feedback regarding the options as far as which options the public seems to favor more. It's definitely, we have not received any bad feedback from the public. It's always been great input as far as how the consultants handled the process as well as with our city staff. So it's been a great process, and the public has really felt the same way.
Jess, with sales tax revenues being what they are, which is probably a pleasant surprise, are you a little bit relieved now with relation to the IDD sunsetting and that... you know, while we're talking about water, the Irrigated Drainage District.
Sure.
Are you a little bit relieved with those numbers being what they are now?
Yeah, I appreciate that question, Paul, because it is two different conversations. And, I'll try to explain it in a way that doesn't get too far into the weeds. But essentially, the city's got a couple different funds and we're, you know, and budgets within the big picture that you look at. We have a general fund. And so we capture whether it's sales tax dollars or the development service fees for, you know, for construction that takes place, or all the different regular fees that the city collects, state shared revenues, sales tax, property tax. All that goes in the general fund, and that is used to pay for like, police, fire, courts, parks and recreation, all the support services it takes for those services to operate. And then separate from the general fund, we have a couple different enterprise funds within within the city's budget. And it's important to talk about enterprise funds when we're talking about water and sewer, because we have one enterprise fund that's just for sewer. We have one enterprise fund that's just for water, which means they're basically nonprofit systems that, that operate without any profit that gets generated. Every fee that we pay as residents or users of the water system, those fees go directly back into the water system. Those funds can only be used for that specific purpose. So we talk about you know, increase in sales tax because of the economy has just been roaring the last several months, and we've seen an increase in sales tax. But those dollars go into the general fund, and we want to make sure that the dollars that are collected for the water system go back to maintaining that water system. You know, you hear some stories across the country about infrastructure that isn't kept up. I mean, the old story with Flint, Michigan, is one of those examples that's definitely an anomaly. And then, but you hear every month. I follow different news in terms of city operations and water and sewer news stories and things like that. Yes, I'm a very exciting guy. but you hear about in Florida where a sewer plant the infrastructure wasn't maintained. So there's rust spillage that will occur, or lines that pop, or those types of things. We want to make sure that we're ahead of the game, and we want our residents to take water and sewer for granted. And by addressing the 10-year projections of where we need to be to do that for our residents, this process allows us to do just that.
So, interesting. Yeah. Now, climatologists, I'm reading a lot of stories recently about warnings of extended drought, and that we're past the critical stage now. What does that mean for the cities along the Colorado River, Lake Havasu City, Bullhead City, even your Parker, Quartzsite, all of those cities? What does that mean for us in terms of water use in the future?
You know, we got to take a really close look at it. The Havasu is set up in a really good spot in terms of our allocation for water, and so we're not in any dire situation, near term or long term. But you got to keep on monitoring that snowpack on the western edge of the Rockies, and what does that mean for our water allocation, not just for Arizona, but for the California and all throughout the cities in Arizona,
sure,
where that goes.
And then you have Utah trying to make a water grab the city of St. George.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm sure Anthony's following that quite closely, too, with governmental affairs, right?
Yep. You've heard about that, that their state legislature is trying to make a move and put together a coalition to try and move that process forward. So.
And that would be taking it from Lake Powell.
Correct.
Which is still the Colorado River system.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we measure in terms of the calls for any type of drought or different categories that occur. It's based on the how many feet in the lake, so that's important to follow what's happening with Lake Powell.
Well, fortunately, Havasu stays at basically one level within a 4 or 5 foot elevation. That's correct, right? Mm-hmm. But Lake Mead, not so much.
Yeah.
And now the Park Service is warning boaters about possible objects. You know, those being dirt under the water that are starting to pop up because of, you know, prop damage and damage to the hulls of boats and such. So
and that dictates
it's getting serious.
Any type of drought conditions or drought levels that might be out there. I mean, there's things that you know, the council has put into place years ago that could come into play if we ever enter into drought-like conditions.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, we'd be asking our businesses and our residents to use some common sense lessen their burden on the need for water.
I've always maintained, being from Las Vegas, I've always maintained that we do our part here on the Colorado River.
Mm-hmm.
We've done, I mean, since I've been here on the river 30 years in Bullhead City, Laughlin, Mojave County, we've done our part. What about Vegas? What about Phoenix?
Oh,
what about those other desert communities where people have lush lawns and haven't switched to desert landscaping?
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like the water companies there should encourage that type of conservation.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, we're at the end of the line. And when it comes to that, too. So then, yeah, that's so vitally important. But, yeah, we need others, our neighbors, to do what we're doing. We do a really good job for water conservation in Lake Havasu City. Well, we have a lot of low flow toilets and different home improvement fixtures that are out there. We have a staff within the city that's dedicated for water and water conservation. If somebody at their house wants to have a city staff come out and do a free audit, we have that opportunity for them to come out and take a look at what's happening with their home. Maybe there's some leakage that's occurring, and we'll do our best to try to assist with those things. We do very well, but we need you're right.
Right.
It's frustrating when others aren't doing that, and we're all sharing the same pool of water.
And then they're trying to grab our water at the same time.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and take a short break. No Beastie Boys today. I was asked to go either with Johnny Cash or Anthony's selection, which is always country.
Always.
I see Willie.
Something it takes water to make is beer, right?
There you go.
Beer for my horses. All right. We're with Jess Knutson, city manager for Lake Havasu City, and, of course, Anthony Kozlowski, the assistant to the city manager, and they're getting kind of noisy over there drinking their water. So, all right, back with more in a moment. Now they're pointing fingers at each other, folks.
Anthony's fault.
All right. I'm Paul LaVoie. Speak Out will continue. Stay with us.
Whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. And a little bit of chicken fried. Cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And the radio.
All right, we're back on Speak Out. You guys do chicken fried there in North Dakota?
Sure. Chicken fried steak is a staple.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. Definitely. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, GDK CPA LLC, Horizon Community Bank, Springberg McAndrew Financial Services, Patio Paradise, and by Connected Computer and Technology.
So if you agree, have a drink with me.
Also, if you miss any part of the show, you can catch it live at KNT, or live. You can catch it streaming the archives at KNTRTalk.com. You can also catch us live there streaming as well. Just look for the big rosette in the corner, left-hand, top left, says Listen Live. And you can catch us right there also on Alexa. And if you're missing Larry Tuneforce and Speak Out 2.0, Larry will return on Monday. And not sure who his guests are. I'll have to take a look at the calendar. Maybe I'll give you an update on that tomorrow. But either of you guys looking for a side gig? Would you admit it if you were?
It all depends.
Yeah. Well, there's a anyone looking.
This could go in a very different direction.
Anyone looking for a job right now? We've heard there are several availabilities out there. Openings.
There are. There are.
And the Lake Havasu Unified School District is having a career fair, and that is on May 27th. And this is actually pretty cool because they have excellent benefits, great schedules, competitive salaries, and you can meet with principals and supervisors to find out how you can teach while earning your teaching certification. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
So a bachelor's degree is needed for alternative certification, and you can learn about no and low-cost college options for those interested in teaching. And they'll be interviewing for classified positions, including paraprofessionals. Again, that's May 27th at the Lake Havasu Unified School District Office Boardroom starting at 1 p.m.
So the district will help you with the certification.
Yeah.
That's nice. Pretty good. That's new.
That's like, and I think they do this as well with their bus drivers is you can, they'll pay for your, that I'm looking for?
The Class B or
the
Class
other
A?
One. Commercial.
Commercial, yeah.
The commercial driver's license. Yeah. Yeah, they'll help you with that, send you through school. A lot of times they'll pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, or they used to. So, anyway, check that out, folks. If you need a phone number, it is 505-6900. That's Barbara or Gail, 505-6900. So school district is that mine, by the way?
Yeah, your pen is exploding. You're shooting parts at me over here. What did I do to you?
Nothing. You're fine. You're fine. Excuse me. All right, again, that's City Manager Jessica Knudsen, and Anthony Kozlowski is here, who is the assistant to the city manager and no stranger to Bullhead City. You're still doing governmental affairs, correct?
I am, correct.
Here in Lake Havasu City. Have you been following the progress on this rural internet bill that was signed by Governor Ducey?
I have. The Regina Cobb bill?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how is that going to potentially benefit Mojave County?
Well, as it pertains to being able to use right-of-way on ADOT, that should help facilitate some companies who want to come in and drop fiber into the community, make it a lot quicker to help rural communities move forward with some broadband infrastructure. So that should be fantastic as long as you have that partner who can make that happen.
Right. Yeah, I was a little unclear on that as far as the property that they can use, you know, like along Highway 95, for example,
right, yeah.
Or what do we call it here? State Route 95, mm-hmm. Right?
State Highway, yeah, State
yeah.
Route.
So how does that work?
Well, they also, as far as signage on the right-of-way, from what I've been able to read, that it'll help designate funding sources as well. So, I mean,
right.
If they're able to reach out to ADOT and help facilitate that process, I mean, it should streamline it, is what my understanding of the bill
sure.
Really does.
I mean, we may be talking about improvements that are 5-10 years
right.
Away, but they're still it still paves the way for those improvements, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
And if potentially some Highway 95 funding to repave and you have some open trenches and things like that and can drop conduit in there, it could be beneficial for any fiber company or cable company to come in and make that happen.
Okay, I got you. Anything else we should be looking at that's on your radar right now with the state?
Right now it's all about the budget, just trying to see what the Senate is going to come down with as it pertains to their budget and see what impacts that's going to have on cities and towns as far as any tax cuts and what they could do.
Okay.
There's conversations about flat tax or reduction in the state income tax, and I think that's fantastic. The state is taking a look at that and trying to put dollars back into taxpayers' pockets. One of the things we take a close look at in all cities and counties are taking a close look at is how that occurs, because one projection for Lake Havasu City is that it could reduce our revenues by $2.1 million every year. That's a direct impact to our ability to provide public safety services and all the other city services that are out there. So while cities are supportive of them taking a look at the reduction in the state income tax, maybe even looking at a flat tax for income tax, but we're asking them to hold the cities harmless. So if they're going to give a tax break, cities shouldn't be paying for it. Mm-hmm. There's dollars out at the state that could be used for that specific purpose.
Okay. Let's go ahead and take a short break, and I'm going to put on a request from Jess.
Good one.
And it's not the Beastie Boys, believe it or not, right? Little Johnny Cash.
Very good.
Walking the Line.
1958.
We'll come back. We'll get an update. Hopefully get a few updates maybe on the Havasu Riviera project.
Sure.
Some other updates, what's happening in the Hastings building, what's happening across the street, the old Kmart building, and I'm sure there's some planning and zoning stuff that we could talk about as well. Open it up to the callers, 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687 if you have a question for City Manager Jess Knudsen or Assistant to the City Manager Anthony Kozlowski. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out will continue in a moment. Stay with us.
As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night, and happiness I have known proves that it's right.
Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I'll tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue.
Well, I just wondered if life was easy for a boy named Jess.
Right? Yeah. I can relate to that
Anthony's
song.
Anthony's normal. Yeah.
Yeah.
You really?
Sure. Yeah. Uh-huh. No, I was growing up. People kind of would refer, call me, Jesse. And as a kid, I'm like, no, it's Jess. For sure. Yeah, it's one of those names that.
Sure.
Now I just appreciate when people get it right because I've been. I also hear Jeff.
Jesse's kind of cool though. Jesse James made Jesse cool.
You know what? My dad was trying to name me after Jesse James.
Ah.
He wanted my name to be Jesse James Knutson, and then my mom said no, and I got my dad's middle name, which is Edward. So, Jess Edward.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Community College. Nice little factoids you're providing me with today.
Yeah.
Also known as Ammo.
Also,
Shagru's Family of Restaurants, Better Business Bureau, samsguns.com. Sun Power by S Bay Electric, Herb's Herbs, and by the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty with over 1,000 homes sold and counting. And speaking of the Lewis team, Bobby Lewis sent me some amazing, an amazing table of prices over the past year and a half with, and the median price was up 49% over last year.
Yeah.
And he thinks, well, it could be a precursor to runaway inflation.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. Nobody knows what's going to happen. There's no, like you said, the crystal ball is not in the budget yet.
Yeah. No, we're seeing just an extraordinary amount of construction taking place in Havasu. Every week, Stuart Schmeling is our development services director, and he'll report to the team about activity. And you compare what we're receiving in permits, building and construction permits, on a week-by-week basis, and you compare that to 12 months ago, we're up over 100% each and every week. Sometimes we'll dip down and we're only up like 60% for that week, up 60%. But otherwise, we're doing double the construction and building permits we were doing last year, and it's been that way for several months now.
Has anyone just done a deep dive into those permits, what they're actually for? Are these for single-family homes? Are they for additions?
They are all over the board. So a lot of single-family homes. We're getting. We're probably going to get about between 400, maybe a little more than 400 new single-family homes constructed in Lake Havasu City over a 12-month time frame right
2021,
now.
2021, yeah.
Yeah, and then lots of pools, lots of renovations, awnings, carports. I mean, the whole gamut. I mean, the amount of construction that's happening out there. I mean, you probably got something going on in your neighborhood, or if you try to reach out and try to get a hold of a subcontractor or even a contractor out there, you're going to there's more work than there is people out there right now.
And speaking of which, the price of lumber right now, I understand.
Lumber, steel,
everything,
wire.
Yeah.
Steel,
everything.
Too?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Concrete?
Concrete is up as well too. I mean, all the materials it takes to construct are up, and which is I mean, that's how strong the construction market is in Havasu, with the price of raw materials way up. That we're still seeing those types of efforts. You know, we don't see a whole lot of similarities between now and what happened back in 2008 with the Great Recession and the housing bubble. I mean, a lot of that, I remember back and having conversations with folks where they would buy a house with no money down, and then the price of the house would increase, so then they're refinancing and pulling money out and then using that money to buy a second house and a third house, and then barbecues and vehicles and all the rest. And so when that bubble popped, it left everybody with foreclosures left and right and bankruptcies left and right. I think we're in pretty good shape as we move forward. We don't have a lot of lots left. We don't have a lot of dirt left in Lake Havasu City. So the demand is high because the supply is so very low.
Does that affect city projects as well?
Oh, yeah.
that are going on, or do you already have contracts for those materials?
So when, contracts that we have in place right now, then, we do a good job of making sure that we don't exceed have a contract that's a don't exceed price. But as we look at construction projects moving forward, and whether it's on, the price of pipe or tanks, or the construction of 92 Acoma for the future courthouse, we scratch our heads and take a look at that with all these things, because it's the design services that are up. It's the construction costs that are increasing. We opened up a bid last week for a
tank.
Yeah, the water storage tank. I think it was a million gallon water storage tank last week.
What were those bids like? Have you opened them yet?
Yeah, Greg Frostley and the engineering team over in Public Works opened those up, and I think we were
500,000 overestimate.
A couple hundred thousand overestimate,
and
we were, and that was the low bid. We had some that were well above that. So, You know, you take a look at these things. You have to do, there are certain projects that have to advance and certain projects you have to take a close look at and saying, you know what, let's wait for maybe a different climate and we can pursue this project at a later date. But there's some that we just have, we have to move forward with and advance.
Boy, you know, you hate to see the tragedy that happened with the London Bridge and the gentleman going through the rails like he did, but
yeah.
It kind of happened at the right time before those materials went even higher, if you think about it.
Yeah, well, the cost for those repairs came back on the insurance company.
Yeah.
So the out of pocket for the city was some staff time in our low deductible, which I believe is about $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's the insurance company who then will go after the person that made the mess in the first place.
Well, yeah, he had a court appearance recently.
Yeah.
That gentleman from New York.
Yeah.
And so how does that work? Is it, would there be restitution? Would the city be made whole with out $1,500 or something with the deductible?
Yeah, $1,000 deductible in the end, we'll pursue that side of things too. But in the end, the city there's no out of pocket. So it was the insurance company that paid for the repairs. We were lucky enough to have to work with our insurance company to make sure that with the improvements made, the repairs made on the bridge were seamless. You know, as you drive by there too, it's kind of hard to point out exactly where that occurred.
Right.
They do a really good job with kind of aging that brand new material to make it look like it's been there for a while.
Boy, they sure did. And speaking of lucky, that gentleman's lucky he didn't end up in the drink. You know?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That was. I understand the truck was hanging over the edge.
It was.
So,
yeah.
We talked about Havasu Riviera briefly before the break, and I took a trip to the south side recently and noticed those barriers there on that left turn lane seem to be permanent.
Oh.
any timeline on when those will be coming out and when people will be able to access that area?
You know, I think there's a development and construction that's occurring. The city isn't part of those projects, but we're obviously really looking forward to the opening of that area.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily, we got Memorial Day weekend coming up. We got these busy weekends for the boaters. You look at the line that's going to be at Windsor. You look at the line that comes across the bridge to launch off that site.
Right.
Boy, it'd be nice to have that third launch, another launch option on the south side of Lake Havasu. They've moved a lot of dirt. There is a whole lot of concrete that's been poured down there. There's several acres of concrete that's ready to go in terms of the parking space. I believe they were out there in the last couple of weeks with
they had a crane out there a few weeks
ago. Yeah, they had a crane on a dredge, and they're out there pounding infrastructure into the bottom of the lake.
Now that's part of state parks land too, right?
Yeah, so they're the operator. So they're developing the state park portion of it. They're developing the residential portion of that property down there. But we've received a couple dozen different building permits for housing out there. So all of that is occurring, and they're moving on, I think, to their third phase for their final plat coming up. So yeah, that's really advancing on their end.
Interesting. Let's take a phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hi there. So speaking of the Riviera project, I was wondering why the street light was fired up so early.
Well, when we did the street light, we bring the contractors in to build that street light, and then we had some delays with getting power to that street light, to the traffic light there. And the reason why it was powered up the way it was simply we wanted to make sure that it worked before that contractor jumped in the truck and went home. So we had to make sure that was properly tested. And it's all ready to go. So when it's time to remove those concrete barriers, we're confident that the traffic signal will handle the traffic and not cause any problems down there. And we're kind of reacting to their timeline. So, you know, the developer could say, hey, you know what, we're ready to go tomorrow. And at that point, we're ready to move the barriers and proceed. And we were ready to go 10, 12 months ago. And so we're just waiting for them to signal to us.
Well, to me, the longer it stays green, the better, but.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, caller.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Have a good day.
Especially when you consider Mulberry, right?
Oh, yeah. Mulberry
is that the long? Is that longer than any light in Las Vegas or what? And those are some long traffic lights there.
Yeah.
Speaking of traffic, Anthony, I had the chance to go into Bullhead City on Saturday, and Highway 95 up there is looking pretty good. I mean, it's looking real good. Now, you compare it to Havasu and Highway 95, like, oh boy, what are they doing right up here? Are you in touch with ADOT at all on situations like that?
Not as far as it pertains to some of the projects up in Bullhead, but I know some of those were as far as safety concerns as it pertains to those unprotected left turns, which were causing a lot of issues.
Oh, the islands, right. So, and that's Fort Mojave also.
Right, yeah, so they've been doing that all the way through through town. But a lot of that was already designated as part of that 5-year plan.
They got that instead of the roundabouts.
Right.
So, yeah, and I'm sure a lot of the businesses up there are not happy with the concrete barriers, but it is what it is.
Right.
So safety is safety. Mm-hmm. But you don't keep touch with ADOT at all as far as improvements to 95, or do you, Jess?
I do. I'll actually have a meeting here this week with ADOT, and you know, trying to encourage as much investment in projects in Havasu as we can. You know, understanding that when you look at what's happening in the district, in the Northwest District, where Lake Havasu City sits, there's a lot of ADOT dollars that are being spent in other areas. We're just not getting our fair share right now. That's why it takes leadership by Representative Leo Biasucci to take a look at funding sources for Highway 95, because it's not in the ADOT budget. Right now we're getting small repairs, small patchwork, but nothing of any significant investment for infrastructure that needs to take place. So, and it's not unheard of. Other state senators and state representatives have gone through this process, but you're basically circumventing the ADOT budget process by saying, no, we need a project. We need help with Highway 95. It's not in the 1-year budget for ADOT. It's not in the 5-year budget for ADOT. It's not in the 10-year budget for ADOT. In the meantime, we have a 20-plus-year-old highway that is crumbling before our very eyes. So, again, thanks to Leo Biasucci for his leadership, and hopefully we get some dollars. That'll come out of this budget process that we're waiting on right now.
So as far as city-owned asphalt, what are we looking at as far as projects on the horizon that drivers can look forward to navigating? We had that big project on Lake Havasu Avenue.
And Swanson.
For a while.
Yeah.
Anything else on the horizon that is maybe that size in scope?
Probably the biggest one that we have in terms of what's in the CIP plan for next fiscal year. We want to replace the asphalt that's on McCulloch between Smoke Tree and Acoma. We talked about earlier about the price of materials and so forth. Hopefully we'll be able to do that at close to the budget that we have identified for that.
Mm-hmm.
We identified a budget of $1.2 million, which would basically take away an inch or two of the existing asphalt and replace it with brand new asphalt striping and all the rest. Hopefully we can make that happen.
What timeline are you looking at for that, is so that business owners can prepare?
Yeah, we're trying to schedule that. Initially, we would try to do something around October. October is one of the times where maybe there's a little bit of a lull in some of the special events, but not this year.
Mm-hmm. No, this year, not at all.
This year, the entire month of October is planned for many special events, because it's the 50th golden anniversary of the dedication of the London Bridge. And so that's a big deal. There's going to be some information coming out through the station here, Paul, and then the newspaper and all kinds of things about lots of ideas about outboard boat races. You know, looking at some of the old things that happened when the bridge was first dedicated. Maybe some bed races and you know all those types of things that are out there. A lot of really good ideas, and a lot of people are involved in those conversations. So that is going to be the month of October. Parade and all the rest, of course, London Bridge days. So we might have to sneak into – we're going to have to accommodate those events and look at something there. And when we do a construction project, especially in the downtown, we can't just close Acoma to Smoke Tree on McCulloch and then do the whole project and be done with. We have to do these things in sections so that the access to the businesses remains open.
Mm-hmm.
So doing it, you know, like section by section and lane by lane to make sure that we're not causing negative impacts. To the degree that we could if we just closed down the entire street. Yeah.
So looking ahead to a future council meeting, could be the one after this one or possibly next month, we're talking about a rezoning request to make way for another marijuana dispensary in town, correct?
So on the May 25th or 26th, the fourth Tuesday of the month that's coming up.
Anthony says yes.
Yeah. Okay, it's one of those two.
You're right.
Yes. There'll be a number of items on that agenda, and one of them looks to be that an item that recently went through the Planning and Zoning Commission just a couple weeks back, and that is for the rezoning of a property that's off of London Bridge Road in the vicinity of the Windsor State Park, and the rezone would be for a recreational dispensary, recreational marijuana dispensary,
right,
at that location. So that would require a rezone. There's some issues in terms of a drive-through and what that looks like in terms of setbacks and just the site layout. And then one of the restrictions that we have right now in the city code is you have to be not within certain number of feet of liquor stores, churches, liquor licenses, and parks. Again, it's right across the street from Windsor State Park, so that's something that the council is going to have to take a real close look at, and to see if that's an appropriate use for that particular property.
And it's not a new business; it's a current medical marijuana holder.
Oh, it is. So it would go medical to recreational.
Yeah, some of that is not in the city's control, and so
right.
but we'll see what happens with that. But once the use is zoned for that particular reason. Mm-hmm. Or for that particular use, it could be an existing provider here in Lake Havasu City that would move to that location,
right.
Or it could be a new one, or it could sit and wait for something to happen in the future. As a city, we don't control what you're doing within your business as long as it's legal,
right.
And conforming. The council approves the use of that property for that. So
I got you. Yeah. We got about 3 minutes left. Time flies when you're having fun, right?
There you go.
Let's talk about the Robbie Gordon business.
Sure.
That's going into the Hastings building. Have you been in touch with those folks?
Yeah, no, it's very exciting what they're doing and the investment that's coming to Lake Havasu City and grateful for Robbie Gordon and his investment in Lake Havasu City. How long was the Hastings building set vacant for a number of years? So what a great opportunity to utilize that space and to bring that to Lake Havasu City. I don't think we're too far off. I'm hoping that those doors open before too long. I know that there's been some concerns with just like we're seeing with everything else across the country and supply chains, mm-hmm. and manufacturing and our vehicle companies in the country and are struggling because of certain parts that aren't there. So there's some supply chain issues that are there that are delaying the opening of that business, but it'll be a good one once
right.
it's opened.
And then is it PMG Manufacturing?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right across the street in the old Kmart building. You don't see a lot of cars over there. Is there activity going on right now? Are they manufacturing?
Yeah, Anthony, I think you did a recent tour over there.
They park inside the building or what?
They park around back.
Oh, okay, I got you.
So that's why it's very low-key as far as how many employees they have going on there. But they, when I was there looking to move in more machines, it's very high-tech, very interesting what they're doing out there. And they're looking to continue to hire more employees. So it's been pretty fantastic.
I've seen their vans wrapped around town, the advertising the Nug Smasher, they call it.
One of their products.
Yep. Extracts THC, mm-hmm. of course, from the plant. So, mm-hmm. all right, guys, great hour.
Perfect, yeah. Yep. It's a pleasure to be here.
Always,
thank you.
Always a pleasure to have you as well. And that's City Manager Jess Knutson of Lake Havasu City and Anthony Kozlowski, Assistant to the City Manager. Just full of great information today, you guys. Appreciate the visit.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
All right, and council meeting tonight?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock?
Yeah.
No work session?
No work session tonight, so we have a meeting at 6 o'clock. And again, please come out and join us.
All right, perfect. Going out with a little Sam Hunt, and this is Take Your Time. I'll be back with more. Final shot with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. I'm Paul LaPoy. Too much and want to stay too long. It's the same old song and dance, but I think you know it well. You could have rolled your ass, told me to go to hell. Could have walked away, but you're still here. And I'm still here. Come on, let's see where it goes. I don't want to steal your freedom. Welcome back to Speak Out. And Mojave County Supervisor Ron Gould wants your input heard on county road projects and priorities. County Transportation Commission will be listening to input from the public on their five-year capital improvement road project prioritization at a public meeting that is today, 2:30 p.m. at the Lake Havasu City Library. If you have any questions, still have a couple hours, give Supervisor Gould's office a call. Call Barbara, 453-0735 for more information. All right, on tomorrow's show, we have Nikki Nickel from the Havasu Chamber. I'm sure we'll be talking about this week's mixer that is on Thursday. And Esme Electric will be in as well. We'll talk about your options when it comes to solar and alternative power sources. All right, until tomorrow, I'm Paul Lavoie, living the dream in Lake Havasu City. Take it safe out there. Hannity is next, preceded by Fox News.